Hey, what's going on, y'all? Friday Football Feast. Paul Allen, Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com. Good morning, Mr. Charchian.
Good morning. Very happy to be here.
Look what has arrived.
The Book of Vox is in the house, finally. They took their own sweet time.
Yeah, I know.
Now, why is it all in a three-ring binder?
Well, because I had to circumvent the actual Book of Vox to find it somewhere online, but I found it, and I've been sharing memories about rookies.
You've been waiting for this every day, checking the mailbox, sitting outside by the mailbox at 2 o'clock when the postal delivery guy comes, and waiting every day. It doesn't show up.
Yep.
And now, so what happened?
Vikings.
Did you have to go to eBay or something and buy it online?
Had to circumvent the rules, and joining us now is the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, Mr. Rick Spielman, right out of the gate. Rick Spielman, Paul Allen, Paul Charchian, good morning.
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good. I get this elaborate breakdown of rookies, and it's compiled by somebody very, very secretive and very powerful in the National Football League. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it Paul, your partner today?
I got Paul Charchian in here, and in anticipation of having a chat with you, he has watched 5 games of film of every rookie that's set to be drafted next week because he doesn't want to get caught off guard. You with me?
Got it. He's got to get ready for that fantasy stuff.
So all this information I have here, Mr. Spielman, it was compiled after the Senior Bowl, the Combine, and all of the pro days. Is there any help you need at this moment to shape the environment and turn the frown of 3-13 upside down?
Did you get all the medical and the psychological testing and the interviewing done, too, while you were putting that book together?
Well, what I do is I read between the lines on the psychological part of it because I'm not psychologically sound, so I just kind of put that into play there. Medically speaking, unless it's an ACL or a case of Sockalitis where somebody was cost a testicle, I kind of let it play itself out. You with me?
Yeah, I'm right there with your theories.
What's the what's the final week up to the draft like? What are you doing right now?
In fact, this morning we're sitting in there going over with a fine tooth comb, just trying the final stacking of how our board's going to look.
Mm-hmm.
We've been at it for about 9 straight days. Now we're in it and just going over it one more time before we have the final grade set.
Yeah. You have any opinion on Georgia Tech wide receiver Stephen Hill?
Yeah, no. Everything that's been said about him, and I'm sure it's in your book there, he's a big kid that can run. He does not come from a pass-style offense. There's been a history of Georgia Tech receivers coming in, having success in the league.
Yeah.
You've seen some of the things from what you saw on tape in the fall, which is you have to watch a lot of games to get a feel for what he is as a receiver. He doesn't run a real complicated route tree.
Yeah.
But then you see some of the things he did at the combine, some of the things that he did at his off-season workouts this spring.
Yeah.
And see that he has been working with another coach to kind of help him refine what he's going to have to do in the NFL. And you see the upside in the kid. So,
well, with him, for instance, with my sneaky book here that I can't share with anybody where I get it or from whom I get it or what the information entails, for Stephen Hill, here's the quick summation. I just want you to tell me if you think this is valid. Could be considerably overdrafted on upside and is very much a gamble on greatness in a similar class as Chiefs 2011 first-rounder Jonathan Baldwin and Broncos 2010 first-round pick Demaryius Thomas, NFL projection, top 40 pick.
Yeah, just comparing him to those two, you don't know about Baldwin yet because you don't judge it until after his 3 years, and you see the Denver receiver really started coming into his own last year.
Yeah.
The other receiver that I find interesting who's got a similar typical sort of grade in terms of where he might go in the draft, Reuben Randall from LSU, who I think is a little bit like Dwayne Bokes. He's really, really big, really, really strong. He's a good blocker, just that big body, and he uses the big body to create separation and to give himself the right angle to the ball when there's a defender on him, and he's got that big body. He can shield the defender away from the ball. I think he's a really intriguing guy and somebody that I would think would be somebody that you might want to be looking at in the second round. Reuben Randall, LSU, what do you think?
Well, I think you guys, maybe you need to come into our draft room. Those are very thorough reports there.
Thank you.
Well, we take this seriously, Rick. We were 3-13, and we don't want to deal with it again.
Yeah, there's a lot of good receivers in this draft, and each of them have their traits, and each of them have their weaknesses, and what teams are doing, including us, is you're looking at what skill set they can bring to your specific offense and the style of offense run. Just speaking with Bill Musgrave and understanding what he wants our receivers to accomplish on the field, there'll be some receivers that fit that, some receivers that don't. So you recognize the talent, you read the reports, us as a personnel side of it, grade for the league so we know all the strengths and weaknesses. And then what we do and what we are finalizing right now is how does he specifically fit into what we want to do from a scheme standpoint, and that's a huge part of this process.
All right, before we move off of wide receiver, let's talk about the fit for the Vikings, because it feels like the middle of the field's in really good shape because you've got these athletic tight ends that can catch the ball. You've got Percy Harvin, who's elite at catching the ball through the middle of the field. Are you looking then at receivers that are going to be able to give you differentiators closer to the sidelines, guys that can widen the field and lengthen the field for you?
You look for always some threats down the field if you can find that. Some of those receivers are more productive, and I'm sure you guys have done your work, and when you charted these catches, some of the receivers are more productive outside than when they come inside the numbers. So when you chart, and if there are drops on a receiver and you're charting drops, where is his drops mostly coming from? Is it in a contested situation? Is it when he's running routes to the inside? Is he better as an outside receiver and staying outside the numbers? But you know those receivers are going to have to come in and catch the ball in the middle no matter how strong you think you are with those tight ends and with a Percy Harvin too.
Mr. Spielman, here's how hard we have worked on the receivers in the draft. May I share it with you?
Yes.
We realize the hash marks in college football are in different spots than the NFL, and there's more area with which to work in college football. So we are not exactly sure Justin Blackmon will be able to accomplish in a National Football League setting outside of the hash marks what he did in college. Is it a good take?
Well, again, everybody has different opinions on Justin Blackmon, but we think Justin Blackmon is going to be a very good receiver in the NFL.
Have you settled in on who you are taking at three? The published report said either Khalil Claiborne or Blackmon. Do you know who you want to take at three?
It's going to be one of those three.
Rick, you mean we're now 1 week out. You've been studying the draft for 3 months. Is it really still up in the air as to which one of the three is it going to be? Or have you guys decided you're just not tipping your hand? You're saying it's going to be one of the three, but, you know, you pretty much know at this point 1 week out.
We again, will revisit it. We have all next week to revisit it. Right now, there's no decisions that have to be made. We feel all three a huge need for us, from Claiborne and what he does as a corner and the receivers and quarterbacks we have to face in the division. You know, we've talked about, and I've talked about since the combine, getting as many offensive weapons around this young quarterback as we can get to help him have the best chance for success. And we've talked about the offensive line situation. So we can go either way right now.
All right, Rick Spielman, general manager, Vikings fan.
So if all three are still in play, What's left to be learned at this point, Rick? You've looked at these guys every way there is to look at them. There's no new data points coming. Nobody's going to be, you know, running a new time or, you know, there's no new tape that's going to emerge. What's left to help you break the tie between those three?
Time? We don't pick till next Thursday. You don't have to have a decision till next Thursday.
Well, but internally, I understand you don't have to, but internally, I would think that by now you're leaning one way or another. Even if you're not going to say publicly, internally, I would like to think that you've made a decision as to if the draft or right now, who you'd take.
Again, I'm not going to tell you where we're at internally. I'll just tell you all three of those players are definitely in play.
Hey, Rick, if Miami wanted to get goofy and get up to three to get Ryan Tannehill, would you have to get a first-round pick next year in return?
We did a lot of research. Rob Brzezinski and George Payton handle a lot of our trades as far as the value of those trades. And, you know, the one thing that you have to look at in this draft is, and we have received calls already, nothing significant, but some people sniffing around. that if you move out, let's say, according to your guys' evaluations, since you did such a great job.
Thank you.
And that, how far do you move back before you get out of those potential blue-chip players?
Right.
And if a team is coming from, you know, we think there's a very there's a lot of very good players in this first round. But if you're dropping from one tier to another tier on our board,
yep.
What value is that? Does that add value? You know, is that going to cost the team more to come up there? Because technically, to go to us at three, you're getting the first pick in the draft of a non-quarterback right
yep.
now.
Yep.
It goes off luck in RG3. So
yep.
there is some added value to that, too. The other is, what are they coming up to get? And I will never know because the team usually don't tell you who they're going to take. But to have the number one overall pick of potentially the non-quarterbacks
yep.
Has a lot of extra value to it than if you're moving up in the second round or you're moving up in the third round or even moving up in the bottom of the first round.
10 picks overall, 6 picks through 4 rounds. 6 picks through 4 rounds, Rick. How many do you hope of those 6 picks through the first 4 rounds contribute next season?
You know, you go into this and you're selecting those players and hoping that you're going to have guys that come in and compete and fill depth and contribute. And we expect, and I expect my expectations of myself, I think we our goal is to hit 100% every time. Not realistic, but I take it personal if we don't, whether we don't hit on a early pick and even when we don't hit on our last pick. So we spend just as much time down through that second day or that third day now part of the draft as we do on the first part of the draft. And we've had some success in those rounds down there getting players. And I think last year we had a lot of those picks, and all those picks except one made it. And you'll see more of those picks even contributing this year. And we have to have that same type of success coming out of this year's draft.
Rick, in talking about potentially trading a pick, like the number three, when do you start getting really firm offers from teams? Do you get good offers this early in the process, or do you really have to wait till you're on the clock all the way on draft day before you get to the final offer you're going to get from teams?
Usually it's going to be pretty much that Thursday because now there's all day before you draft.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be if people are serious, they'll start talking a lot on Thursday, and then it may not come till you're actually on the clock.
How much does, you know, now this thing's spread over 3 different days. How much does that break that you get between Thursday and Friday help teams get some sleep, you know, organize their thoughts, and be better prepared for day number two?
You know, it's been beneficial for us both ways. It gives you a chance to come back the next day and kind of regroup and read
mm-hmm.
and discuss things. But on the other hand, I think, you know, from my standpoint, that we are as prepared as anyone in the draft. We are very thorough at what we do. I have a lot of confidence in our system. I have a lot of confidence in the people I have that do the evaluations. That it's fun when it's going bam, 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 too, because if you're prepared, you know how to react and you know what you're going to do. To say that when it started to spread out for 3 days, that we come in and totally change and rearrange things, it's pretty much the same as what we had it when we first started the draft. It's
mm-hmm.
get a chance to maybe discuss things a little bit more and go into depth a little bit more on some things. But I like the fast pace, and I like when it's rapid, too. That's the exciting part.
You've been a part of drafts that have put a lot of high picks on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Ponder and Harvin, Kyle Rudolph. The thinking is that you, Rick Spielman, want to make sure that your picks that you made that have got your DNA on them have the best chance of succeeding, and therefore you want to get Matt Khalil to give your quarterback, who you took a bit of a gamble on, the best opportunity to succeed. And a guy like Percy Harvin, put him in the best opportunity to succeed because you got a quarterback who's upright longer. Do you think is it fair for people to connect the dots that way for you personally, Rick?
No. I think it's what fell to us and what was the best player available, and it just happened to be that they were offensive players, but that has no bearing on when we're on the clock and there's a player there whether it's offense or defense, I firmly believe you're going to take that best player available who you think is going to be a good football player for you. It just was more coincidence than it was anything else.
Mr. Spielman, we know you're on very short time. You're a very, very busy man shaping the environment, trying to turn the frown of 3-13 upside down. I want to fire three at you quickly here and take as long or as short on each of them. Are you ready?
Go.
It looks like from afar we're a little stuck at the safety spot right now. Okay, you can fix it via the draft or part of it. Maybe you can move one of these corners you have in the stable to safety. That'll all play itself out. O.J. Atagwe, why is he getting no feelers?
I can't speak for other teams, so I don't know what other teams feel about him. He's been a very good football player. We looked at him. We evaluated him. We played against him last year when he was with the Redskins. But right now I think everybody's kind of focused on the draft and seeing what's going to come out of the draft. And then there'll be a lot of things that happen after the draft, too, because you'll see what you got in the draft where you still have some potential holes on your roster, and you'll continue to sign players after the draft.
What do you like about new corner Chris Carr, and is he still an elite special teams guy like he was when he was with Tennessee?
Chris Carr brings you a lot of versatility. He's played outside. He's played nickel. He's done some returns. He's played on special teams. He was a veteran that we felt can bring some stability to potentially a young secondary because of his experiences, and he's still a very good football player that can fill a lot of roles for us.
Is the draft very rich, bountiful, and deep, Mr. Spielman, in wide receivers and or cornerbacks who can return kicks?
I'll let you know 3 years from now.
Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, if I look up and down this this book and everything, there seem to be a lot of wide receivers who can return kicks. Is that fair?
Yeah, the one thing that does stick out a little bit this year,
yeah,
you go through these skilled guys,
yeah,
the possibility of those also being returners,
yeah,
that's what you weigh into some of these decisions, too. You may see a receiver up there, but you may also see another receiver up there that may not be as well-known but has potential to be a game-breaking type returner.
Wow.
And you can go that way, and people say, well, why did you do that? Because when we factor in our grades, if they have return skill set that can help you win ball games, that's a huge plus, and that's another area of need that we're going to look at as well.
You just gave us a hint. Does that mean you're taking Alshon Jeffrey at 35?
Let me know who's there, and I'll let you know. If you can tell me the three guys that we like that are going to be there, I'll give you that answer.
I'm following the breadcrumbs. We're like Hansel and Gretel right now, PA in charge. So the draft is deep in wide receivers and corners who can return kicks. Did you get any form of left tackle in free agency, or is that still to be determined?
What do you mean by that?
Well, the offensive lineman Schwartz. He's a swing guy, but he's a guard by trade, right?
He also can play guard, and he can play right tackle. He's lined up and started at both positions.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and maybe we can contact you next week. Thank you for the time, and best of luck, okay?
I appreciate you guys being involved and doing all the research that you did, and next year you still won't be allowed in the draft room.
Rick, last chance with this unbelievable book that not even you have access to. Is there anybody in here you want a summation on, because I can help you?
I think we're on a hard break right now.
You think you'll be okay? All right, see you later.
All right. Rick.
Okay, the old Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs trick. So, draft is rich in wide receivers and kick returners and cornerbacks and kick returners. We did not bring in a left tackle via free agency. You can put the USC guy in our uniform. Yes!
Paul, I really believe that's the case. You can get really interesting wide receivers at 35. Paul.
I thought of it before you.
Which part?
Matt Khalil. I had him in October.
No. Listen, I get plenty wrong.
Ew.
I've had this one sniffed out for a long time. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Well, yeah, you really have.
I've gotten a lot wrong.
And you know what's exciting is that your mock madness is coming up at 11:20 today, and that's going to be funky.
Well,
Eric Hipple's calling the hotline. Tell him that we're 5 minutes away. Here's the bit. Former Lions quarterback Eric Hipple has written a book. He's in town right now. and he has big opinions on men facing depression and not willing to discuss it.
With the way the stadium is going, we need to hear his message right now. There's a lot of men facing depression.
Yep, and off the 3-13, got to do the same thing. So we're going to talk to Eric Hipple here in a minute. Then after that, Paul Charchian's going to weigh in on the stadium developments. He gets run on the radio Friday. We need his opinions. After that, John Sullivan, center for the Minnesota Vikings, in studio 9:55 for a couple of segments. The essentials of it all into the second half. Tom Hanneman, play-by-play guy for the Wolves on Fox Sports North, in studio for a segment at 10:55. Charch's Mock Madness at 11:20, and Corey Chavis from DraftNasty.com with a bevy of draft opinions to close a week of radio that makes up the project. Paul Charchi and Paul Allen, producer Joe Nelson. This is 9 to Noon.
It's PA in Charge.